Welcome to a special series featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O'Phill. Our topic today is prayer, home run or strikeout. In other words, if God doesn't seem to answer our prayers, should we go ahead with Plan B? Frankly speaking, here is Pastor Richard O'Phill.
You know, the devil is unhappy when we begin to move towards God. And he does everything in his power to try to block us. I was in one state one time, and after the service, a lady came up to me and she said, "Pastor O'Phill, when most ministers speak, it goes right over my head." She said, "But when you speak, I understand." She said, "Now, when you just preached," I had just preached a few minutes before, she said, "You said that that's funny," she said. "I understood it when you said it." And here she had just said, "When you speak, I understand." Well, what's happening is, of course, the devil is trying to keep us from understanding. And this is the reason that Jesus said when he spoke to the people, he would always say, "He that hath an ear to hear," what? "Let him hear." It didn't mean that the people didn't have ears. It just means that it's so hard to listen about the things of God. One time I was speaking to an academy group, and I was giving a little sermon, but the sermon was divided into three parts. And I had entitled the sermon, "How to Lose a Fortune." Now, you know they teach courses in how to make money. So I told the young people, I said, "I'm going to tell you how to lose money." And they thought that was pretty good. And I said, "The first way that you lose money is to neglect it. In other words, just leave it alone, and pretty soon the inflation will eat it up." I said, "Another thing you is just leave it on the ground and somebody will steal it. And a third thing you can do is throw it away." And they thought, "Yes, that's pretty good." And I said, "Well, that sermon is over. Now I'm going to preach a sermon on how to lose your girlfriend." And they thought that would be a pretty good sermon too. And of course, the way you lose your girlfriend is the same way you lose money. Just neglect her? Huh? Just don't pay any attention to her? Or be unfaithful to her? And they thought, "That's pretty funny. We like that sermon too." And then I said, the final part of my sermon is how to lose Jesus. And then I said, it's the same way as losing money. It's the same way as losing your girlfriend. And then I finished the sermon. Well, on Sabbath, the next Sabbath, I was speaking with the youth at their Sabbath school. And I said to them, "Do you remember me?" "Yeah," they said, "we remember you. You spoke at the academy." And I said to them, "Do you remember what I spoke about?" Just trying to refresh them. They said, "Yeah, we remember. You told us how to lose money." I said, "Really? You remember? How do you lose money?" They said, and they named it off. "You neglect it, you abandon it, you waste it." I said, "What else did I speak about?" And they said, "How to lose your girlfriend." I thought, this is wonderful. Here it is. On Monday, I talked to them. On Sabbath, they remember my sermon. I said, "How do you lose your girlfriend?" They told me how to lose a girlfriend. And then I said, "Then what else did I speak about?" They said, "We don't remember." I said, but that was the punchline. That was the main part. How to lose Jesus. I thought to myself, isn't that sad? That when I was talking about money, and when I was talking about girlfriends, I was scratching. But when I was talking about Jesus, some didn't feel the need. And I hope that in the hours that we spend together this weekend, that we will unplug our ears and we will feel the need to get close to Jesus, who is our friend and our Savior. Over in the Philippines, a number of years ago, there was a minister's wife traveling with her little boy. They were traveling in a part of the country where there was lots of strife. There were guerrillas. I don't mean monkeys. There were guerrillas, the insurrection, But they were traveling in a country bus. Now, I mean a kind of a Greyhound type, Trailways bus. And so I don't remember the details, whether they were going to start the trip or whether the trip was in the middle, that they were halfway through. But anyway, they stopped that night, and she got her little boy ready for bed, and she went to bed herself. Now, before she went to bed, she knelt down to pray. Do any of you kneel down to pray before you go to bed? Will you do that when you get home tonight? I hope so. Now, some people say, well, I don't kneel down to pray. I just jump in bed and pray. And is that all? Sure, that's okay. That's all right. You can pray if you just lay on your pillow or pull your blanket up over your head. It's just like me. I can talk to you like this, too. And you can hear me just fine. You can hear me just fine. But isn't it better to talk like this? See, so if you kneel down by your bed tonight, it'll be better. You can do it however you want, but do it by all means. Anyway, she knelt down by her bed and she said her prayer. I don't know what prayer she said. You know how we get into the habit of saying our prayers? Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, I'll be halfway through my prayer, I go to sleep. Have you ever done that? And you have to wake yourself up to say amen? It happens to somebody. The other day, I was eating my dinner, and I got about halfway through it, and I thought to myself, did I offer the blessing? And so I thought, well, I better offer it again, just in case. And I thought to myself, isn't that crazy? Here, I'm not even listening to my own prayer. And I'm expecting God to listen, and I don't listen myself. Well, anyway, this lady, she got down and she said her prayer. Thank you for the safe trip and bless us and forgive our sins and so on and so forth. And then she crawled into bed. She thought she was going to go right to sleep. But she didn't. She was uneasy. And she was tossing and turning. And she began to be worried about something that she didn't understand. And so she began to have this funny feeling that she should pray some more. And so she got out of bed. And she got on her knees and she just, you know, prayed again. And she said, God, I already prayed to you once, and I don't, and, you know, did the prayer again and crawled back in bed. And do you know, she couldn't go to sleep. And the third time she crawls out of bed, this time she's worried. She's shaking nearly. And she says, God, what's going on? Why can't I go to sleep? Is something terrible about to happen? She starts to cry. Before the evening was over, she had prayed for 3 or 4 hours, just as if she was just consumed with anxiety and with worry and pleading for God. God, I don't know what's going on, but please save us, help us. Everything was normal, apparently. Well, the next day, she got up and she got her little boy ready. The bus came, they got in the bus. They got out in the middle of the countryside somewhere in a lonely place. And the guerrillas attacked them with machine guns and big stuff. And they just shot up the bus and they sprayed the machine gun fire all down the windows. And everybody on the bus was killed or wounded. And there she was. She was still alive, her and her little boy. Her little boy was just huddling against her. And she was hysterical. And then those men came on the bus with those big machete knives to kill the survivors. And they came down. I don't even like it. It's horrible. Horrible. And they came to where she was, and she just pleaded with him. Please! And he just kind of looked down at her, and he said, get off the bus. And so she crawled over the fallen ones and walked out and made her way off the bus and ran down the road with her little boy, holding her little boy, not knowing where she was going. And finally there was a rock sticking out or something, and she kind of got down underneath there, and she was just shaking and just crying, and she didn't know where to go, what to do. They were in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know how much longer it was, but another bus came, and they attacked it and killed everybody. A little time passed, and somebody came walking down the road, a man. And the man saw her and her boy there and said, come with me. And he walked them down the road, and a pickup truck came along, and he stopped it. And he said to the driver, will you take us into town? Driver said, get in the back. They got in the back. They got to the edge of town. The truck driver stopped. They got off. And then, would you know it, the man who was with them disappeared. What was he? He was an angel. Then she realized she was wounded. And she went to the hospital. She was able to walk to the hospital. When they saw her wounds, they took her to emergency surgery. When the surgery was over, the doctor came out with something in his hand. And he said, "What are you?" Notice, not who are you. What are you? Because he had 6 or 7 flattened bullets that he had taken right out of her side. Those bullets had pierced the skin, and just like they had hit armor, they stopped. Splattered. Now, the reason I'm telling you this story is because God knew that that was going to happen. Now, my question was this. He also knew he was going to save her. Now, did she have to pray in order to be saved? Or would he have saved her anyway? Tonight I want to talk to you for a few minutes about prayer. And I'm going to talk about some problems with prayer. Some problems. I don't have all the answers. I have more questions than I have answers. But I want to know about prayer. If I were to ask you tonight, how many of you pray? Maybe I should. How many of you pray? Of course. By the way, do you know even bad people pray? In fact, I think everybody prays sooner or later. The good guys and the bad guys, even in the scripture, wasn't it Pharaoh who prayed? Well, he didn't exactly pray, but he said to Moses, he said, "Go pray for me." And somebody was telling me a story one time about an atheist. You know what an atheist is? A person who doesn't believe in God. And this person, an atheist, many times will make fun of God and will mock God. And this atheist worked in this factory up where they reprocessed paper. And one day he was walking along near one of these paper choppers and he tripped. And as he was falling into the machine, the last words they heard him say were, guess what? "God help me." So it's interesting that everybody prays. The good guys and the bad guys. Sooner or later it'll happen. But I have some questions about prayer. I've prayed all my life. I pray before I, you know, go to bed at night. I pray before I eat. I pray in church, you know, and if I'm going to, you know, sometimes you'll be going along the highway and they'll have a radar trap, huh, and you pray that he doesn't catch you. Have you ever had that happen? Or you're about to take an examination in school. You pray that you get an A. Have you ever done that? Or maybe you want to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend and you pray that she'll notice or something, you know. I mean, we pray for many different reasons. We pray that if we want to go on a picnic that it won't rain when we get well, or when we get sick, we pray that we'll get well. By the way, when we think of prayer for the sick, some people only pray when they get sick. Did you know that? Isn't it true? Some people only pray when they get sick. Now, if you were God, and a person only turned to you when he got sick, would that make you want to make him well? Be better that he stayed sick, wouldn't it? Oh, no, seriously. Now, I was telling you that I have some questions about prayer because in Scripture, it says, whatever you ask in prayer, what does it say happens? You get it. Is that the way it's worked for you? Now, some people say, well, there's certain conditions. You have to ask and believe and claim the ABCs of prayer. And if you ask something to God in prayer and He doesn't give it to you, it means you didn't have enough faith. And if you have enough faith, you can get God to do anything. In fact, there are many preachers that are preaching these days what might be called name it and claim it. You want it, you ask God for it, you want it right, you get it. It hasn't worked that way for me. In fact, I want to tell you, be real frank with you. Sometimes I've wanted to go on a picnic. Have you ever wanted to go on a picnic? I've prayed that it wouldn't rain. Rains anyway, John. So here Jesus says, if you have faith like this, like a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I pray that it won't rain. What must my faith be like? Must be microscopic. What I'm saying is that if you think about it, but now some people say, well, God answers all my prayers. He says yes, He says no, and He says wait. I could say to you, what does He usually say? He usually says no. Have you noticed? Seriously. Now, I told you, I'm going to talk to you very frankly tonight. Do you mind? This weekend, I'm going to just talk to you just really frankly about experience. Now, maybe I'm the only one that has these experiences. But I got to thinking to myself, let me talk to the young people who are here tonight because this is your weekend. Supposing that you offer 10 prayers, how many times out of those 10 does God say yes? I think sometimes that 9 times out of 10 God says no. Or wait. You like that? I don't like that. Huh? I really don't. And I got to thinking to myself, you know, I don't understand. The Bible says if you pray and you have faith, you pray, you get it. So I come and I pray, I don't get it. Something's wrong. Now let me tell you, you haven't met my wife, Betty. We've been married for 29 years. Believe it or not, 9 times out of 10, if I ask Betty for something, she says yes. Now you're going to say, well, you must beat her. No. No way. 9 times out of 10, I ask Betty for something, she says yes. 9 times out of 10, you pray to God for something, He says what? In fact, so bad is it for some of us in our prayers that we don't even expect God to answer. We get kind of plan B. You know, I'm going to talk to God about it, but He'll probably say no, so what I'm going to do is... But going back to this matter of Betty. Now let's be real serious. Does Betty love me more than God loves me? I can't be right. But I think I've got it figured out. I got to thinking about it. I thought... I ask Betty for something, she most of the time says yes. I ask God for something, He most of the time says no. What's going on? I know. I've lived with Betty for 29 years. I don't ask her for dumb things. Are you with me? You see, I know her. I know what she likes and what pleases her. You think I'm crazy and I'm going to go ask her for something that she doesn't like? No. Why should I? I have learned what Betty likes. I have learned what pleases her. And there it is. Don't you see? We go to God with any dumb thing. Now, you say, Dick, does that mean I shouldn't pray about anything? No, go ahead. You can pray about anything you want. But don't expect Him to say yes. Unless you thought about it a little bit. Because you can bet one thing. He's not going to do something that's bad for you. Now, I have a little grandson who will be here in church tomorrow. He's 4 years old. Now, suppose that little Bucky came to me and said, Grandpa, this is Bucky's talk, Grandpa, to play in the freeway. I would say, no, honey, no, Bucky, you play in the freeway. That's dangerous. You'd be terrible. Okay, Grandpa. Can I play on the roof then? No, honey, you can't play on the roof. You fall off and hurt yourself. Oh, Grandpa, you never let me do anything. Isn't that right? Isn't that way to... We do that with God, don't we? Go to God and say, God, can I play on the freeway? No, Dick, you can't play on the freeway. Can I play on the roof? No. What's wrong, God? Don't you hear my prayers? He says, I hear your prayers. Why are you asking these things that are so crazy? See what I'm saying? The reason that Betty says yes to me is because not just that I love her and she loves me like I love God and He loves me, is that I know better than I know God. And this is the joy that I see in it. This is the reason that in Luke 11 verse 1, the disciples saw Jesus praying and the scripture says, when He was finished praying, they went to Him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like you. Don't you think they prayed already? Sure they did. But when He prayed, it was different. God said yes to His prayer. Listen, young friends, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, God will say yes to your prayer when you learn to pray. And it's for this reason that my prayer is first and foremost, oh God, you love me and you want what's best for me. teach me to pray. Prayer, you know, we get into such a routine. We get into such a rut. As I told you, here I am. I say the blessing before I eat. I don't even listen to myself. I have to say it again halfway through. I didn't even hear myself pray. I need. And I go to sleep halfway through. And I have to wake myself up to say amen. Another person was telling me, he said, well, when I kneeled down to pray, I didn't know what to say. I just said, same as yesterday. Another person was saying, he told me, and he was a minister, he said, I don't ask God to bless the food anymore. Why should I? I get up in the morning, I ask God to bless everything I do all day. That includes dinner. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Oh God. Oh God, teach us to pray. My sister, Dana, was just a little girl of 2. See, I'm 3 years older than her. And so, if she was 2, I was 5. And so one day, we were all playing together, and one of the little neighborhood children was over at the house, and it came time to have lunch, and so mother must have made peanut butter sandwiches or jelly and, you know, peanut butter. And so she said to the little girl or whoever it was, stay and have lunch with us. And the little girl asked her mother apparently and stayed, and so we got around a little circle, and before we ate, my mother said to Dana, how old did I say she was? About 2. He says to her, Dana, would you say the blessing? You know how little children say the blessing. So we all bowed our heads. And now this, I'm going to do 2-year-old talk. But this is going to be baby talk. Are you ready? We all bowed our heads. And Dana said, Dita Pooda Pan. And I opened my eyes. Now did you hear that? Did you understand what she said? Dita Pooda Pan. You know what that is, don't you? You don't know what that is? The little neighborhood girl didn't either. Because when we opened our eyes, the little neighborhood girl said, what'd she say? And so, now, you'll know in just a minute. See, Dita Pooda Pan is the sped up word, blessing. See, when you say, let me show you how it works. Dita Pooda Pan is the real fast of this. Now watch it, and I'll slow it down. Dita Pooda Pan. Dita Pooda Pan. Dita Pooda Pan. Dear Jesus, bless the food, amen. Did you hear it? See, and so when you just say, dear Jesus, bless the food, amen, every day, every meal, dear Jesus, bless the food, amen, dear Jesus, bless the food, amen, dear Jesus, bless the food, amen, see? But haven't you thought to yourself, see, prayer gets to be just a routine. Dita Pooda Pan, Lord, excuse me, I lost my place. Same as yesterday. You know, he doesn't answer anyway. What am I doing? Lord, teach us. Teach us to pray. I was over in Bangladesh one time, and I was teaching summer school over there. And at noon, we would eat lunch, and then the custom over there is to take a noon bath, and then the people rest. And so we would then rest until about 3 o'clock, we would start classes again. And so on that particular day, during the rest period, I was sleeping because the weather was intensely hot, and I was sleeping under a mosquito net. And this was a very, very isolated part of Bangladesh in those days. It was a Hindu territory, and where they, at night, as we would go to bed at night, we could hear the drums beating and hear the wailing of the Hindu ceremonies and what have you. So that afternoon, as I slept, there was a big storm, and the thunder was rolling and the lightning was flashing. And have you ever taken a nap when there's a storm? It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. And so it didn't wake me up. It made me feel cozy. But then pretty soon, as it came more and more the time to wake up, it began to bring me back to consciousness. Well, I was just aware that it was time to get up. In fact, I had opened my eyes and I'd looked over against the horizon, and the clouds had stacked against the horizon, and the lightning was flashing through the black clouds, and the thunder was just still rolling in the distance. And there was a knock on the door. I went to the door, and there were three pastor teachers there. And they said, "Pastor," they said, "there's a lady out at the gate. And she says, please help her. The devil is about to kill her daughter." Now, let me tell you what had happened. It was an Adventist family, very, very poor. They had lots of children. And apparently this young 14 or 15-year-old girl had fallen sick and wasn't getting well. So they had tried everything that they could afford or could do, and she still didn't get well, and somebody said, "Why don't you take her to the Hindu, whatchamacallit?" I don't know whether you call it priest or guru or whatever it was. "Take it to him. Maybe he can help her." So they told me then that they took her to the priest, and he said, yes, she would get well if they would pay 1 pound of sugar for each pound of body weight. They said, sure, why not? Hey, they shouldn't, you know. They were too poor to... poor as church mice, as we say. But anyway, they said they would pay, and she got well. Well, time went by, they didn't pay, and she was visiting on a particular day at the house of her uncle across the river. And she had gone to the well one day to get water, and you know how they carry those water containers, and it was going to be a well probably that down in the ground they would throw a rope down. And so she'd gone to the well, and just as she was about to get the water, or had just gotten it, out of the ground came a something or other. Have you ever seen these pictures of these Hindu gods with all these arms? Out of the ground comes something or other. And it says to her, "You promised you'd pay. If you don't pay, you die." And she just became hysterical. She dropped the pot of water, and it was smashed apparently, and she went back to her uncle's house, got her things together, and went back across the river to her parents. And she went to her parents and she said, "We've got to pay, we've got to pay, they're going to kill me." Listen, there was no way her parents could pay. So that particular day that I was taking that nap, she had been walking along the river, and out of the bushes came you know who. And it said, "You didn't pay, now you die." Down she went to the ground in a coma. She was unconscious. So now her mother comes running to the mission saying, "You've got to help. They're going to kill my daughter." And here I am. I've just awakened from an afternoon nap. And I thought, what do I do now? Now, I had never had experience, personal experience in this before. And the only thing that I knew about it was what I had heard from the mission story all my life. You've heard mission stories like that, haven't you? Where they'll tell about the evil spirits or devil possession. And in the mission story, they tell how they pray and everything. So immediately, I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh, this is happening to me. What am I going to do? And I thought, I don't know what to do. And then I began to remember the mission stories. Yes, the mission stories. What did they do in the mission stories? So I began to try to piece together things that I could do that would bring success. Now I knew that the moment of truth, if you could say it that way, was when you go to the person and you pray and you say what? What do you say? "In the name of Jesus, we command this evil spirit to what? To depart." So that sooner or later, that's what I had to do. Because that's what the mission stories always said. Now, fortunately, the mission stories said that when you do that, it goes away. But I thought to myself, is that all you're supposed to do? I don't want to leave anything out. Well, I thought to myself, I know what I've got to take with me. What would you take with you? The Bible. Because I had heard that the devil is afraid of the Bible. And I kind of thought, if you take a Bible along, You know, seriously, we think of the Bible as being kind of a magic book. Excuse the expression. Now, it wasn't funny. I was really worried. I was scared. And this is why I wanted to do everything right. I wanted to do every point, leave nothing out. That way, according to the mission stories, I would have success. So the first thing I did was found the Bible. Then what would you do next? Before you left? What? Pray. Exactly. So we gathered around in a circle and we prayed that the Lord would go with us. So what had I done first? Got the Bible, magic book. Had the prayer, make sure everything's all right. Then we walked out of the building, walked out the gate, down the side, walked along the river, went down, and there as we approached the house, it was a large house made of reeds and grass. We could hear the grandmother wailing. Some of you know what that's about. She was mourning. She was crying. Remember when Jesus went to the house of that dead person that time and they were carrying on? Jesus said, please don't. As we walked up to the house, there lying on the ground right by the door was the girl, unconscious. There the grandmother was weaving back and forth in the darkness, wailing. We said, please. So she stopped. We walked up to the house and somebody said, do you want to hear her talk? If we put leaves in front of her nose, she talks. I said, huh? I don't want to hear the devil talk. I want to get on with this. Now, I had the Bible, step number one. You see, I was trying to follow the recipe. You know what I mean? Don't misunderstand me. It had to come out right. I didn't want to leave anything out. So I thought to myself, what are we going to do? We've got to pray for her. Is there something else we should do? Then I thought, one thing more we got to do before we pray. We've got to bawl out. You know what I mean when I say bawl out? We've got to bring the family together and say, you shouldn't have made that deal. Now, I'm sure they knew that by now. But have you noticed that this is the way we do with each other many times? When we do something that's wrong and we're hurting, what's the first thing we do before we help? Tell each other off. Now, it's all right, maybe, to tell somebody off, but not until after we've helped them. In other words, it was okay for me to talk to these, but I shouldn't have talked to them now. Because I wasn't helping the problem. I was making them probably feel worse. Well, anyway, I didn't want to leave anything out. Prayer, or Bible, prayer, bawl out the parents. Now there was nothing left to do but pray. Now I knew that when you pray, you use the magic words. Excuse me for using that expression. But Matt, you know what I'm saying? I thought if you would say in the name of Jesus, according to the mission stories, it happens, they go away. So we made a little half circle around her. And over there they speak Bengali. And the first pastor, pastor teacher, he prayed. And we all closed our eyes. And I didn't know what he was saying. But he got to that place in the prayer where I guessed that he was going to say, now, in the name of Jesus, we command this evil spirit to depart. And when he got to where I guessed he was saying that, I opened an eye. Because according to the mission stories, at that point, what's supposed to happen? She's supposed to be all right. So there I was. He said the magic words. Okay? Nothing. I thought, I don't know what's going on here. We've done everything right so far. We haven't left anything out. This isn't supposed to be this way. Time for the next person to pray. Close my eyes again. I'm thinking, oh brother, it's going to be my turn. The next person prays. He came to that part in his prayer where I guessed he said the magic, you know, in the name of... I open my eye again. I began to feel really, really worried. I thought, this can't be right. We've done everything right. It's not working. Now it's my turn to pray.
I didn't know what to say. They'd said everything. It wasn't working. But I thought, here goes nothing. I got to do it. I can't say I'm not going to. I don't know what to say. I have only one thing I can say. Just to say, in the name of Jesus, no, you can't say that. It's too little. That's too short. So I thought, I'll make a prayer. You know, just sort of flesh one out. So I just did a prayer, kind of a little longish one. You know, lots of fancy words. Hey, now, it wasn't funny. I was really worried. I couldn't figure out what was wrong. So I was there with my eyes closed, and I tried to make the best, fanciest prayer I could. I tried to say all the right words and everything. And then I thought, now, according to the mission stories, you say, in the name of Jesus, so I said, in the name of Jesus, we command this evil spirit to depart. I opened my eye. Nothing. I can't tell you how I felt in that moment. Now, this may sound crazy to you, but the tears just kind of shot out of my eyes. Just started washing down my cheeks. I mean, I didn't think, now I'm going to cry. I just burst into tears. Just great big just tears just crying, and the tears just squirted out of my eyes, and I just said, I couldn't even help. I said, oh God, please help us. And I'll never forget it. That when I said that, she opened her eyes. I reached down and I took her by the hand and I lifted her up. And I thought to myself, oh, I see. You see, the devil is not afraid of this. Somebody told me that over in Sri Lanka, one time a person had an evil spirit, and somebody said, put a Bible under your pillow, that'll keep you safe. So they put the Bible under their pillow, they woke up the next morning, it had been ripped to shreds. I should have known that the devil is not afraid of the word Jesus Christ. His people cuss with it all day long, don't they? They say it all day long and blaspheming and cursing. It doesn't scare the devil away. It brings him closer. And then I understood. It's not in the magic book. It's not even magic words. It's what the scripture says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. You see, it's not following the points or saying all the right words. It's the heart saying, oh God, oh God, please help. And here we are, lots of us, praying that it won't rain, praying we won't get caught in a radar trap, doing dita puta pan, same as yesterday. Excuse me, Lord, I lost my place. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder? Nothing happened so many times? It's for this reason that my prayer is, oh Lord, teach me to pray. I want to pray like Jesus prayed, with all my heart. And I want to pray real prayers. Prayers that are good for me. And prayers not only that are good for me, but prayers that are good for Him. You know, there are two kinds of prayers. There's a prayer I call a false prayer. It's a prayer that seeks to exploit God and impose our will on Him. And there's another prayer. There's a prayer that seeks to know the will of God and to glorify His. Which kind of prayer do you and I offer mostly? The first one. God, do this. God, do that. God, do this. God, do that. Come on, God, do this. Come on, God, do that. Trying to exploit God and squeeze out that power for me. Oh, no. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's to say, oh, God, what is your will for my life? You know what's best for me. You know if I play in the freeway, I'll get killed. You know, if I play on the roof, I'll fall off. What's best for me, God? What make me love you more and make others love you? Oh God, teach us. Teach us to pray. How do you feel about it tonight? Do you have any of those experiences that I have? Do you want to learn how to pray? Is that how you feel too? How many of you feel the way I feel? You wish, oh God, I want to pray better. Do you feel that way at all? What I'd like to do tonight, I don't want to make you embarrassed or make you mad, but I would like to close this meeting with a prayer. Why not? I mean, what should we do? We talk about prayer. Why not pray? But you might say to yourself, I can't pray. I don't know what to say. Well, then that's a good prayer, isn't it? Lord, teach me to pray. What I'd like to do, and I don't want to make anybody mad. If you don't want to do this, then don't. But I would like for everybody who's here tonight, this is an invitation, that we kneel down, two by twos. Now, if you just can't stand it, just bow your head and just stay stuck. But if you would just, hey, you'd like to try something new that's kind of exciting, just say to the person next to you, just be praying with that person next to you, and say, Lord, teach me to pray. Amen. To start in it. And then if you're accustomed to praying out loud and that you don't really mind, then have a nice little prayer in which we pray, oh God, help us to know how to pray. So you can say yes 9 times out of 10. Would you mind joining me in that kind of a prayer tonight? Did you understand what I'm asking you to do? Join us. Oh God. Teach us to pray.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.